Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Hypocrisy is everywhere. Very much so, everywhere. Yesterday, we played a video. We got off Milo Yiannopoulos' Facebook. I was intrigued by the thing. I watched it. Gentleman goes into a rec center, like his apartments, you know, they got pool tables and like workout equipment and free Wi-Fi. And two people notice a shirt he's wearing, which was hashtag build the wall now or something like that. And they go off on it. They are loud, obnoxious people who bully and berate this guy and belittle him. And all the while taking pictures of it and filming it, because that's what we do nowadays, right? Like, we not only do we have to be a-holes, we have to make sure that the world sees how bad we are. I've noticed something, and this is something that's very real. As a kid growing up, you know, I always thought there was a right way and a wrong way to discuss stuff or have an argument, have a discussion, whether it be your parents or whether it be your brother or sister, or whether it be your friends or whatever. You learn through what you're seeing. But as a kid growing up in my generation, we always learned that there was a truth and then there was not the truth. We have a new generation of people who don't understand the truth. Meaning, even if it's presented to them that this is the truth and this is what's going to happen or this is the way it is, they want their feelings to override that truth. And they want their feelings to matter more so. And no matter what you say or think or believe, they want to be able to tear you apart. That's why Milo goes on campuses. He gets yelled at. People scream and yell at him, even if he's talking about something that he is absolutely 100% familiar with, knows the truth inside and out, has the facts to back it up. They don't want to hear it because they're not interested in a discussion. There is an art form, unfortunately, like a lot of things, in the way that people discuss, the way that people have conversation. I like to think that my show is different than 99% of the shows out there. And the reason is because I'm as open-minded as you're going to find in this industry doing what I do. I tout my own horn on that. Toot, 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 tootly toot. I am extremely open-minded. I look at all aspects of everything. I want to find the truth. And as I've always said, truth has two sides, but in the middle is the absolute truth. Now, it may go to one side or the other side, but that's usually where the absolute truth is. We have taught people nowadays that you just scream and yell and you don't actually have a discussion with individuals. Why would you want to do that when I can yell at you, when I can berate you, when I can belittle you? The other night, Trevor Noah hosted Daily Show. Liberal, African-American, not really, because he's black. People have to say, he's African-American. Well, he's from South Africa. So what's that make him? South African-American? Chad, political correctness. And Tommy Lauren, a 24-year-old conservative woman who's on The Blaze, hosts a show called Tommy. They had their chance to discuss stuff. First thing we're going to do is we're going to take a listen to how some people feel about certain situations and how they decided to have a discussion. And then we'll listen to what Trevor Noah and Tommy had to say. Cut number four.
Clearly, you're the one who feels uncomfortable because you're wearing that shirt.
Oh, he doesn't want to show his face.
It's a little uncomfortable.
I got you.
It's a little uncomfortable when I come in to get coffee and you're wearing a racist shirt that you are.
You're so racist. I've never seen such a racist human being on earth. I'm Mexican, and I have to deal with this.
Okay, so first of all, lady, I have to be completely honest with you. If you've never seen a more racist person on earth, well, you're a pretty lucky person. A guy wearing a shirt that says hashtag build the wall. If that's the most racism you will face in your life because you're Mexican, Charo, slow your roll. But do you see what they're doing? He didn't want to engage them. He's in there. But they're berating him. They're belittling him. They're bullying him. But because they have social justice behind him, they feel it's okay. I have what I deem in my mind to be the only and right answer. Therefore, the ends of this situation justify the means. Continue.
Ask him how much education he has. None. He's never gone to college.
Either I'm racist or I'm not good enough or
He's never gone to college.
No, you're just kind of a
pick a fight with me.
He's never been to college.
What was that?
Look at him.
You heard what I said.
He's bitch.
I heard you're kind of a piece of
He's never been to college. But he wants to build a wall.
Well, apparently wearing a build a wall hashtag shirt is grounds for being harassed by people in the common area of a community center.
Yeah,
in my apartment complex. But if you want to say that it is what you think it is, then you go ahead. If that's how you sleep at night, go for it.
You know, based on listening to this, I want to build a wall around those two asshats. Lucky it wasn't me, because I'd have thrown some knowledge down on y'all. Charo. Chad. That's funny. Say it again, Charo. Coochie, coochie, coochie. Hit the road. You have attacked his intellect. You have attacked him as a human being. You have not had a discussion with him. See, what I like to have discussions. I like to have a good, lively discussion. I want to know who you are, what you're about, why you think the way you do. I want to go over to your side and look back this direction and go, okay, I see why you see it that way. Let me show you why I see it that way. The problem is nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to scream and yell. Because that's what we do nowadays. He's an uneducated white guy. Well, what's my color have to do with any of this? You slam Donald Trump because you think he's picking on race, but yet at the same time? Now, Trevor Noah, hosting The Daily Show, has Tommy Lahren on, and they were able to have a somewhat serious discussion about certain things. If you've not seen who she is, she's this 24-year-old. She's beautiful. She's all that, you know. And she's very conservative. She thinks she's right about every single thing. And Trevor Noah had her on. And they had a discussion. And Trevor Noah is a comic. And he is funny. And he's used to being in the spotlight like that. And he could have made this an ugly situation. Because apparently that's what we like. And she has gone into the lion's den. She's at a show that is primarily extremely progressive. The audience is progressive and young. And she is saying things that the audience doesn't agree with. And it could get ugly, but they had a discussion because that's what you need to do in order to understand each other. Cut number three.
For somebody who is not racist, you have to spend a lot of time saying, I'm not racist. What is your biggest issue with Black Lives Matter?
I think, and I've said this many times, it started with good intentions. I think it was. It was well-intentioned. The moment that they started pushing hands up, don't shoot, which is a false narrative, proven time and time again to be a false narrative, the minute that that became their slogan, the minute that protesting turned into rioting and looting and burning and militant actions, that's when I lost respect for Black Lives Matter.
He hits her with the, you know, for somebody who's not racist, you sure have to say you're not racist. Well, that's because people who are judging me, you judge me, you're not racist. You have to say it a lot. But yeah, because you keep telling me I'm racist. You tell me how I think. Would it be good for me to say, you know, you hate white people? You hate conservatives? You hate Christians? Well, wait a minute. I don't feel that way. Well, yeah, you're a Christian hater. You hate Christianity. No, because that's not a discussion. And remember, too, he's also walking a fine line where he's also having to be entertaining. But at least it's a discussion. He's giving her a platform. They're not yelling at each other. They're not fighting with each other. They're trying to hear each other out. He's got questions he wants answers to, and she gives him those questions and answers back and forth, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we learn from one another. Yesterday, we said something about these microaggressions. If you ask somebody who's a trans, who's becoming, you know, transitioning from one to another, if you ask them something, that's offensive. But if I have a legitimate question, I want to ask you something. Already asking you a legitimate question makes me transphobic or homophobic or whatever phobic you want to come up with. Do you not see the stupidity in all of this? You know how you learn in life? You're curious and you ask questions. You don't bully people into your way of thinking. You don't bully people into your way of thinking. That doesn't change anybody's mind. It just guilts them into doing something that they may not even believe in. And this is what we do. And this is the social justice warriors. And this is how these kind of things happen now, is we essentially say it's okay to treat somebody a certain way because we believe we have the only answer, the right answer, because it's what we believe. And even if it's not true, our feelings will override the truth. And alas, there we are. It's ridiculous. I'm going to play one more cut from it because I just found this whole thing interesting. And let's go to cut number 5.
There are some things that need to be said. When the Black Lives Matter movement is going out with signs saying fry them like bacon, F the police, when they're going out seeing if you see a white person, target them, that is happening, Trevor. That happened in Milwaukee not too long ago. That is happening. So when that now becomes the narrative and you're starting to loot, burn, and riot, what did the KKK do?
That is not, look, we'll go around in circles. Did you say what did the KKK do?
No, what did they do? When you're saying,
wow.
Listen, Trevor.
Wow.
Trevor. When you're saying, when there are people in the street saying, if you see a white person, beat their ass, does that not sound reminiscent of the KKK or their motives to you?
Is that the narrative of Black Lives Matter, or are there people who are saying that within a crowd of other human beings? There is a distinction between a movement and the people. That is something that we keep coming back to.
Yes, but when the people in the movement happen to be one and the same, and many, many of them, if 9 out of 10 feel that way, exactly. Look, we have spent the last 20 plus years trying to make political correctness the thing that everybody should aspire to. And by doing so, we've become further apart. We have isolated ourselves in many ways as us versus them. We've stopped learning how to talk to one another, and we don't listen anymore. It's crazy. Look, when you do have people chanting things about killing police officers, and you saw what took place in Dallas, and you've seen what took place in several other parts of the country, including right here where I live, where you had 2 officers not 6 weeks ago killed. When you've seen situations like that, can you understand? That's why you weed it out. We sure want to lump all of the white people that are part of the white nationalist movement into Donald Trump's crowd, and that everybody else who votes for him is just like those people. But if you say, well, you've got one person here who says we should still kill cops, well, that's just a singular person. You can't demonize everybody. But you want to demonize this group of people for a small group of people who are loud and obnoxious and completely antiquated with society and don't understand anything and are knuckle draggers. You know who you've been talking about, you white nationalist people. But over here, if somebody in the Black Lives Matter movement screams something and you say, look, is this what this movement's about? Oh, you can't demonize all of us. Well, you want to do it over here. But at least it was a conversation. It was a discussion. I think she did an okay job. But we need more of that in this country. And less of the bullying to believe. You've got to believe what I say. You have to take what I say as the ultimate truth. You have to do what I say as the ultimate truth and get rid of that shirt and essentially fall to your knees and ask for forgiveness for believing what you believe because my feelings say this is what you need to do. And my feelings override your truth and your feelings. That's not a discussion. That's bullying. More discussion, less bullying. You find out that we open up our minds, whoa, diversity of thought, wow, and less things like race and religion will come into play because we'll understand each other better. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. A lot of text messages coming through. It's the Chad Benson Show.
How does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It's not often we have real American heroes. You know, we talk about the first responders. There's a lot of people out there that are true American heroes. But we lost one today. John Glenn passed away. He was the first American and the fifth human being to orbit Earth. Imagine that. Imagine all of that. Glenn was born July 18th, 1921, passed away today, 95 years young. He was one of the Mercury 7's group of military test pilots selected in 1959 by NASA, and he did become the first on February 20th, 1962, as he flew the Friendship 7 mission and became the first American to orbit the Earth, and again, the fifth. He received the Congressional Space Medal of Honor in 1978, went into politics after he resigned from the Marine Corps. And in 1974 through January 3rd, 1999, he was a Democratic senator. He did go back to space later on in life. That's right. He decided, hey, we're going to try this again. Went up there and hung out in 1998 with the space shuttle several days. Pretty crazy to think about. Well, that's a true American hero. And think about this for a second. And he even said this. We look at all of the stuff that we have now. We look at the technology we have, and it's amazing it is. Do you realize that your phone probably has more technology in it than what got him up there? Isn't that crazy? Your satellite dish at home is more powerful than what they were using back then, and you're watching The Real Housewives or something? Like the cojones. When you look back and think that these guys are being fired off into space in essentially the most space-age technology they had at the time, which we're probably driving around in right now, is better. And yet at the same time, they did it. John Glenn was one of those guys. A frontier kind of Western man's man. Passed away today, 95. Rest in peace, John. Godspeed. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You know, we were just talking off air because somebody went to Toledo. We'll call him Phil. We've sent him to AAA to learn how to do what he was doing. He's on a little bit of a vacation for the next couple days. And Marty, a 24-year-old Sprite, a youngster, is filling in. And Marty, you're out there in Arlington filling in for old Phil. But you, as we were talking about Pearl Jam, they're your favorite band.
By far my favorite band. Huge fan.
I said if I woke up tomorrow, my head was sewn to the floor, I would not even have known that. You were barely alive.
I was
when they were massive.
I was born a year after they became a band together.
Oh, and you love Soundgarden? You love the grunge world.
Love grunge. Love grunge.
Are you a Nirvana fan?
I like Nirvana, but I'd probably put them below Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, maybe even below Alice in Chains. I actually like the Foo Fighters more than I like Nirvana.
I love the Foo Fighters. I'm a Foo. Like, to me, if you out of all those bands, the Foos, they do it for me.
Yeah, I'm a huge Dave Grohl guy, so.
It's Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl's just like, looking back on it, I think if we look back 20 years, we're like, okay, you know what? Dave Grohl might have been the engine that drove that thing, if we think about it.
Yeah,
he's so talented.
I mean, once he became the drummer, that band totally turned around.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, it's like, what did the other guy do? He tried banjo, right, for a while? That weird guy? I don't even know. It's crazy. I love that. Learning from Marty every day. Look at this. Youngsters teaching us stuff. Loves the Pearl Jam. Loves the Pearl Jam. As a child, he loves the Pearl Jam.
See, some of us millennials have good musical taste.
You do. Some of you do. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, look, I love the Bieber. I'm not going to lie to you. I like the Bieber. I think the kid's got talent. Many people don't because they hate who he is because we're jealous. This is a jealous society. But I like the Biebs. I think the Biebs got all kinds of talent. Hey, You're going to travel. It's that time of year. Everybody's traveling. We're doing travel-y stuff. You're going to go through TSA. Here's my thing with TSA. Because, you know, a woman has made it known after what she has went through as a breast cancer survivor and essentially being completely just embarrassed. Can we stop it now? Can we just be honest? When the seven guys from a, you know, wander through with all of their backpacks and you know, they're about ready to scream Allah Akbar, and we're terrified to look at them wrong because we're worried what the political correctness would be, never worrying about the fact that they maybe something could happen. They could fall from 30,000 feet in the sky. But, hey, our political correctness has won the day, and we pull grandma guns out of a line, or a woman, a breast cancer mom, being essentially embarrassed through screening protocol. Not once, not twice, not three, not four, but five times. Look, the TSA couldn't find its ass if its hands were tied behind its back. Could we just be honest there? Like, they're not. I don't need, I was the last time I traveled. And we were flying back. They had, there was like a son, and he was probably in his 40s or 50s. And his mom was with him, and she was in a wheelchair. She's in a wheelchair, and they're pulling her up. And like patting her down, and I'm thinking, what in God's name are you doing? Are you this stupid? There are things you should be looking for, and this is political correctness. And it was ridiculous. It was. It was absolutely ridiculous. I'll take it on my shoulders to say, I don't think Grandma Gunn's over there, who's struggling a little bit to walk, who's obviously in her 80s or 90s year old, who happens to be wearing an adult diaper, isn't smuggling anything in here that may otherwise cause us to fall from the sky. All right? But the eight Pakistani gentlemen with 65 computers who you were afraid to make eye contact with because you thought you'd be deemed a racist, I'll take my chances over there. Chad, what? Honesty, kids. What's for dinner? I'm not saying everybody from Pakistan is a terrorist. I'm not saying everybody who's a Muslim is a terrorist. I'm not saying everybody who's, you know, bald is a white supremacist. What I am saying is there are certain things you look for, kids. And a lady who has lost her breast doesn't need to be violated, not once, twice, three, four, but five times. Because you feel you need to. And our fear factor here of political correctness is, you want to know the thing that's killing us from the inside that has made us this divided nation in many ways? It's the PC culture. We are so absolutely ready to yell, to scream, to point out differences and how you should respect everybody's differences, all the while saying you shouldn't notice any of their differences. And, oh, by the way, if this is the truth, if it may hurt some other people, so could you not point that truth out? Because we don't want these people to be hurt because it'll make everybody feel bad. And mostly it's about feelings. And I'm over it. I would be apoplectic if my grandmother, God rest her soul, who had a fake leg, we always tell everybody, she would just make up the craziest stories. A shark attack and something. It was great. If they took her leg off and embarrassed her, I would lose it. I would take it off and start beating them about the head with it. Is there anything in here? You want to see if it can be used as a weapon? She can't, but I can. Could you imagine that? Oh, my God, I would lose it. I would absolutely lose it. I couldn't even imagine. What's next? We got to put the baby through the little thing now? What if it's carrying something? Really, what would it be carrying? Wow, this is quite the ruse here. So met somebody, we fell in love, we had a baby, all under the guise of we're totally the real couple, so we could plant a bomb on the baby? Is that the whole thing? This woman said, I got a great idea on how I'm going to be the next terrorist. I'm going to get breast cancer. Can you catch it? Can you give it to me? I'll stick my breast in a microwave until I get it. And then when I do, I'll have them lop it off, therefore putting grenades inside my water bra to hide the fact that they've had to remove my breast. But it's okay, though, because they caught her. They caught her. Woo! Man. Look, I know they have a job to do. But that job, dare we say that job is mostly symbolic? Dare we say that? It's mostly symbolic. It's like putting up the shark warnings after the shark's already eaten somebody. Those are mostly symbolic things. Eventually, the shark may swim away and people go back in the water and there's a chance it could happen again. But for all intents and purposes, it's a symbolic thing. 9/11 happened. Do I think it can happen again? No, not on that grand scale. And no way can it happen in the way that if somebody got up today and tried to commandeer an airplane, the other 250 people that aren't along for the commandeering of the plane would destroy that human being. I worry more about what's underneath. I worry more about who's packing my luggage underneath and putting it on the airplane. I worry more about where's this airplane been? It's come from Frankfurt to Denver, and now it's here. What's underneath there? I worry more about that. I don't worry about an 87-year-old woman or a 6-year-old little girl or a woman who survived breast cancer or a veteran who's 93 years old and survived the wars, but this guy making $11 an hour with a fake badge, feels he should do whatever he needs to do to protect us from the enemy within. So as you get ready to travel, and many of you are going to, and you get ready to get out there in this beautiful country and get on an airplane, remember, yes, they are good people and they're just trying to do their job, but their job also comes with some issues of public perception. And that issue is we're going to ignore all the reality of what's taken place so we can make everybody else not have their hurt feelings. You know what I want? I'll take a little bruised feelings over the safety of knowing that nothing is going to blow up inside of an airplane put there by somebody else. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, love when you do, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. People living longer. We got stuff going on in Ohio. There's so much stuff we're going to have to try to pack it in, but we got to wrap it up next. Chad Benson Show.
I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Wrapping it up. Solid fun night. Text the show 323-538-2423. Text your write-ins. Chad, I love your show because you are very open-minded. Thank you very much. Another texter says, it's at that TSA point that the entire crowd should start singing the Star Spangled Banner to shame them. I love that. Another texter writes in, have you seen the video of the guy kicking the woman down the stairs in Germany? No, I haven't. We're going to have to look that up, though. Another texter, those babies are packing poop. I think they need to share with that with the TSA. Hey, here's my thing. If you think if I have a baby and you think that baby is carrying something, if you're that curious, you change it. Right? You want to get down and dirty, you change it. There you go. Find out how craptastic your job is. Chad, that's bad. Just saying. Love when you text the show. 323-538-2423. I was watching last night. I was watching something on HBO, and it was about the concussions in NFL because the NFL game's on right now, and it's monochromatic Thursday night. That means all the teams have to wear the same colors. They're all white or all red tonight as the Chiefs take on the vaunted Raiders. And I normally say that, as a joke, but they are actually a decent team this year. As I'm watching this, it's scary to think about. You know, we talked the other day about the guy who died, but do you realize that the NFL, that the youth level, the youth level is down over 20-some percent as far as participation in the sport? That's massive. And that's the more that we find out, the more we're going to realize, ugh, that's huge. And now as they started to do, they said they were pointing out, as they're starting to do this the study, is they're worried about what they call the double concussion syndrome, which is you get a concussion and you come back, but you're not all the way back, and the next concussion actually kills you. It's crazy. I just don't. I think with video games, and I think with the fact that more kids just aren't playing those kind of sports, you're going to see more and more people shy away from football. And I, you know, a lot of people think, oh, the NFL's ratings are down because of Colin Kaepernick. No, they're not. Several reasons the NFL ratings are down. First of all, tonight is the first, last night and tonight are the first Thursday night games that I'm like, oh, I really like to see these games. Right? Monday night's game sucked. 41-10, and it wasn't that close. The Colts laid the pipe to the Jets. But you'd be surprised how many, well, no, it's because of Colin. I won't watch it because of Colin. I won't do this because of Colin. No, you're not. You know, if your team's on, you're watching. If you've got a bet, you're watching the game. The truth is, I love football, but man, I don't want to see the Rams take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's zero want to see that game. 9-3 versus 10-2? I'll watch that tonight. Did you really want to see Colin Kaepernick battle Jimmy Clausen as the Bears took on the 2-8 Bears took on the 1-9 49ers? God, no, that's horrible. But you'd be surprised how much. I'll get a bunch of that. Well, Chad, you just got to understand something. You don't get it. You just don't get it. Speaking of not getting it, the youths of America, are going to have to learn out quickly how much personality can mean. There's a new study out that says if you want to get ahead in the future, human contact and personality, customer service is going to be one of the huge things. We've talked about how automation is killing the job industry as much as anything, illegal immigration, this, that. We've talked about what the real big issues are coming. But one of the things that's being left out is there's a lost art to learning how to do things when it comes to interhuman relations, right? Communication. And I'm always amazed. And the millennial generation can learn something from an older generation that personality is absolutely important. Being able to work with your coworkers is important. And then guess what? Someday you may go apply for a job and you may be exactly what they're looking for, and so may this other person. And on paper, you guys are pretty much similar. It's a flip the coin kind of thing. And the one that'll get the job will probably be the one that they feel they have more of a connection to, more of a personality kind of situation. So jobs like nurses and doctors and things like that, those are going to be huge because there's human interaction. You can't outsource that kind of thing. Other jobs can be. Other industries can explode. But that human interaction thing, that customer service, we talk about it. You know who a good waiter or waitress is, and you know who a bad one is. Unless you're going to Dick's Last Resort, and that's what you're going there for. But there is a lost art, and it's sad to say in this day and age, we have a lost art of teaching people how to befriend each other and how to communicate as human beings, but because we spend our entire lives buried in our electronics, and this younger generation is more comfortable having 15,000 friends who live all over the world, yet never having to converse with them on a day-to-day basis and or shake their hands and meet them, That's not going to be good because there are going to be people out there that want that. They're going to want that human interaction. We always joke about those people who make money from cuddling, right? Professional cuddlers. That's going to be huge. And if you don't think this is true, think about what we talked about the other day with about Japan and the Japanese and how they no longer have a dating culture and they no longer have sex and they no longer communicate with one another because they become so completely distant from one another that those kind of things are foreign to them. Even though they may like it, it's awkward for them. It's going to be the same way for us in the future. So having that personality is going to be huge. Learn something from grandma and grandpa. It's great to be on your stuff, and it's great to learn these things, but grandma and grandpa and mom and dad can teach you. It's also good to be able to converse with people. If you've got both of them, you're a double threat, and I guarantee you that'll put you over the edge in life. Solid, fun show today. I want to thank Marty for sitting in for Phil, who went to Toledo and posted a picture of him getting on a train. So weird. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON, chadbensonshow.com. Text the show, always, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. For Marty, for my man, Anthony, for Scotty, and for the distant and lost Phil. My name's Chad Benson. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.